Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Battle Merchant Podcast. I'm Henrik.
And I'm Carmen. Today, we are talking about one of my absolute favorite LARP roles, the doctor. Or healer, medicus, field surgeon, whatever you want to call it.
Your eyes are lighting up already. I take it you've gathered some experience with this?
Oh yes. I played an herbalist for years, who gradually evolved into a wound surgeon. And I have to say, this role is really something special in LARP, because you have so much direct interaction with other players.
I can imagine. You're not sitting around somewhere waiting for plot, but...
You're right in the thick of it. Exactly. Someone comes limping up, has an injury, and suddenly this... How should I put it? This intimate roleplay moment emerges. The patient is lying there, you're bent over them, treating the wound... That's pure immersion.
That does sound like a very intense gaming experience.
It really is. But, and this is important, it requires creativity and genuine attention to detail. You can't just say, I heal you, and be done with it. Well, unless you're playing a mage with healing spells, that's a different story.
True, the difference is enormous. With magical healing, you have the spell, maybe a ritual, and boom, healed. But with a realistic doctor...
It's all about the process. The bandaging, the cleaning, maybe even stitching. You take your time. And that time is what can become unforgettable for both sides.
This reminds me a bit of the historical field surgeons and barber surgeons. They also had this craftsmanship element... With cupping glasses, lancets, sometimes even cauterizing.
Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what you can bring into LARP. Not the cauterizing iron, of course, but that atmosphere of real medicine is happening here. With props, with calm, with focus.
So no hasty slapping on of bandages?
No, definitely not. The goal is to give your fellow player an experience. If you take your time wrapping the bandage properly, maybe cut the end neatly, add a bit of fake blood, then the other person becomes completely immersed.
And you do too, I assume?
Absolutely. That's the point people often forget. The role has to be fun for you too. If you're bored or find it tedious, then, well, maybe a different role would be better.
What makes a convincing LARP doctor for you, when you see someone who's really good at it?
I'd say three things. First, they take their time. Second, they have props with them. Don't have to be elaborate, but something. Small bottles, bandaging materials, maybe a set of instruments. And third, they stay calm and focused. That radiates competence, both in character and out of character.
The props thing is interesting, because it's not about lugging around a complete field hospital, but...
Small details. A wooden box with a few instruments. Glass bottles with coloured water as tinctures. That's completely enough to create the atmosphere.
And these are exactly the techniques and tricks we want to talk about today.
Exactly. Bandaging techniques, wound representation, props, how you bring it all together for a convincing doctor portrayal. Let's dive in. Okay, let's talk about the heart of playing a doctor, applying bandages. And I mean properly applying them, not some hasty wrapping.
What's the biggest mistake you see LARP doctors make?
They do it too quickly. Someone comes in with a sword wound on their arm, and the healer wraps a bandage around it in 5 seconds and says, done, healed. That's Well, wasted potential.
Because the immersion never even gets a chance to build.
The trick is to take your time. Really take your time. Don't just wrap the bandage around, but place it creatively around the injury. Different layers, different techniques depending on the body part.
Can you break that down? Like, how does it differ for...
arm, head, torso? Well, with the arm, you have it easiest. You can wrap it nicely in a spiral, away from the wound going up or down. The head gets more interesting. You have to go around the skull and often around the chin too, so the bandage stays in place.
That sounds like real craftsmanship.
It is. And for the torso, you either need help or good technique. Over the shoulder, under the arm, back up again. That takes time, but that's exactly the point.
Historical field surgeons didn't have the luxury of...
modern materials, no. They worked with whatever was available. Linen cloths, often already used and washed. And still they put in effort. That's the beautiful thing. We can take inspiration from that example.
But what makes the difference between an okay bandage and one that really impresses people?
Details. Small details. For example, at the end of the bandage, don't just tear the material or leave it hanging, but cut it neatly. With small scissors, in character, of course. Important, blunt bandage scissors or safe props. No real knives near your fellow player. If you want the look of a knife, only use a safe replica and keep it away from the body.
That makes sense. It looks much more professional right away.
And then, and this is golden, a bit of fake blood. Don't pour it everywhere, but apply it strategically. At the edges of the wound, maybe a bit on the bandage itself, as if it bled through.
Are there amounts you'd recommend, or is it more...
a matter of feel, but less is more, honestly. A few drops that you spread with your finger. Fake blood comes in different consistencies. Thicker for dried blood, thinner for fresh wounds.
I imagine that also depends a lot on what kind of scene you're playing, whether it's an acute emergency situation or a...
detailed treatment in the infirmary. Yes, totally. During quick field care, in the middle of...
hold on, let me ask quickly. The quick version, do you still use the same techniques?
Adapted, yes. With emergency care, it's about being fast, but not sloppy. You might wrap fewer layers, but still neatly. And you play up the urgency. Hold still, I need to stop this now. While still working cleanly.
That's like theatre and craftsmanship at the same time.
And with a detailed treatment, in the infirmary, in the tavern after the battle, you can really savour it. Each layer individually. Maybe pause briefly between reps, examine the wound, look concerned.
The looking concerned part is probably just as important as the technique itself.
Right. Your facial expression, your body language, calm and focused. That transfers to the patient. If you seem hectic, the other person gets nervous. But if you project, I've got this under control, they can relax and fall into the game.
So the calm isn't just for atmosphere, but is directly part of the treatment.
Fellow players notice it immediately. I've had situations where players told me afterwards that they really forgot for a moment that it was a game. Because the treatment was so... immersive.
And that's exactly the goal.
That's why it's worth practicing beforehand. Not for hours, but a few times putting a bandage on yourself or on a pillow. Then you've got it down when it counts.
Are there any other tricks you've collected over the years?
A really simple one. Always have different bandage widths with you. Narrow ones for fingers and wrists, wider ones for arms and legs, really wide ones for the torso. That makes a huge difference in appearance and in the feel of the game.
Sounds like a well-organized first aid kit for LARPers.
Pretty much. But with a focus on appearance rather than medical function. We are not healing real wounds. We are creating moments.
Now it gets really creative. Prosthetics and props. This is the area where you as a lab doctor can really go all out.
You mean latex wounds and stuff like that?
Among other things, yes. There are different types. Ready-made prosthetics made of latex or silicone that you simply glue on. They often look quite impressive already. Cuts, bite marks, burns. But the nice thing is, you don't have to spend a lot of money.
Making them yourself works surprisingly well too. With simple materials. White fabric, some fake blood, maybe skin adhesive. You can transform a simple prosthetic into a really realistic looking wound.
And the big advantage of prosthetics over just makeup is
that you can interact with them. You can stitch the wound, work on it, treat it. That gives the role play between doctor and patient so much more depth.
The stitching is actually a highlight. I once watched someone do this with a blunt needle replica and real thread. The patient really played along, flinching with every stitch.
That's exactly the kind of interaction you want to achieve.
Now here comes the practical part that many underestimate. Fake blood management. Because fake blood is, well, it's sticky, it stains, it makes a mess.
Oh yes, I've seen costumes ruined.
That's why the trick is, contain the fake blood right in the prosthetic. Don't spread it all over, but collect it in a small depression or pocket in the prosthetic. Then you have the visual effect, but no complicated cleanup afterwards.
Oh, that's clever. So the wound bleeds in a controlled way.
And you can even work with different consistencies. Thicker, darker blood for... No, other way around. Thinner for fresh wounds, thicker, darker for older, crusted ones.
Do you have any other prop tips? I mean, besides the prosthetics themselves?
Let's get started. Those glass bottles you mentioned earlier, they're really worth their weight in gold. Small apothecary bottles that you fill with colored water, and you've got tinctures, healing potions, or brandy for cleaning. And plastic syringes without needles, only for modern or steampunk settings, not medieval. They also work great for...
For injections. But only if your setting and the organizers allow it, right? You can fill them with fake blood. Looks really realistic.
Good idea. I haven't tried that yet.
I sometimes fill them with red food coloring and water. At modern cons, of course. Looks frighteningly realistic when you pretend to draw blood.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
And then, of course, the surgical instruments. They are sets with...
I put together a small wooden box once, with tweezers, blunt scalpel replicas, scissors, clamps. None of it dangerously functional, but it looks like a real doctor's kit.
A box with surgical instruments really lends enormous authenticity to the role. You open it up and suddenly you're no longer the person who applies bandages, but a medicus.
The question is always, how much do you carry around? Especially at cons where you have to walk a lot.
I'd say put together a compact doctor's bag. The essentials in there, bandaging materials, a few bottles, maybe one or two prosthetics, fake blood in a leak-proof container.
And the big box with the instruments stays at camp or in the infirmary. You bring that out when someone comes for a detailed treatment.
That makes sense in game two. A field doctor doesn't have their complete inventory with them when running across the battlefield.
What I also love? Using found objects. An old glasses case becomes an instrument box. A tobacco tin becomes a self container. A nice piece of cloth becomes a surgical drape.
Flea market finds are unbeatable for that.
You have to make sure it fits the setting.
For medieval, no visible plastic. Better to disguise syringes or use glass ones. Wood, clay, leather, metal work well. With glass, keep in mind it was more expensive back then.
In the end, it's the combination of everything. The prosthetic makes the injury visible, the props make the treatment believable, and your bandaging technique makes the experience unforgettable.
And the best part? You don't have to have everything at once. Start with the basics and build up your collection over time. Now, let's be honest. The doctor role is great, but it's not for everyone.
What do you mean by that?
Well, as a LARP doctor, you're often in a reactive position. You wait for someone to get injured, for someone to come to you. That can be frustrating if you'd actually rather be in the action yourself.
That's true. And especially at cons, where a lot of plot is happening, you might be sitting in your infirmary and...
missing everything. That's why the most important point is your own enjoyment has to be there. If you're not having fun as the doctor, that transfers to your fellow players. Then the treatment becomes a chore instead of an experience.
There's something to that. Good play happens when both sides, doctor and patient, are really into it.
And if you find out the doctor role isn't for you, that's completely okay. There are so many other options.
Yes, alternative support roles, for example. There's the...
alchemist. Or herbalist, though that's similar, of course. But also a blacksmith, a cook, a merchant. All roles that interact with others without having to wait for wounded people.
Or also combat-oriented roles with a support aspect. A squire who takes care of the knight's equipment. A scout who gathers information.
The range is huge. But, and this is the point, if the doctor role suits you, it's incredibly fulfilling.
What helps to really get into this role? Apart from the techniques and props we've discussed.
Clothing! A distinctive doctor's coat or cloak makes such a difference. When you put it on, you're no longer you. You're the medicus. That helps with the mental transformation.
The outer transformation triggers the inner one.
And it immediately signals to other players, this is the doctor. They know who to come to. Especially important at larger events.
What kind of coat works best? I imagine it depends a lot on the setting.
Darker colours work well. Black, dark brown, dark red. Looks professional and, well, practically speaking, fake bloodstains are less noticeable.
That's a very pragmatic thought.
That's just how I am. But seriously, a long coat with wide sleeves, maybe a hood. That's the classic fantasy healer look. Great for LARP, not so much for historical reenactment. Barber surgeons and field surgeons back then just wore normal craftsmen's clothes, without any special identifying marks. Even the plague doctor with the beak mask is only documented from 1619 onwards. Early modern period, not medieval.
A really good point that shows how much fantasy and reality can get mixed up there. And practically speaking, it's certainly still useful if the coat has pockets, for all the little things you need as a doctor.
Spare supplies. That's a point many forget. Always bring more bandaging material than you think you'll need. Fake blood can run out, prosthetics can get damaged.
Like a real field surgeon who never knows what awaits them.
And it allows you to react spontaneously. Someone needs a bandage? You've got them. Someone wants to portray a more elaborate wound? You've got materials.
This whole thing is also a process. You don't have to start with the perfect equipment.
No, really not. Start small. A few bandages, a bottle of fake blood, maybe one or two bottles as tinctures. That's completely enough to begin with.
And then you build up over time. After each con, you know better what you need and what you don't.
The most important thing is, try it out. If you've never played a doctor, give it a go. Maybe you'll discover a passion you didn't know you had.
And if not, at least you've made a few fellow players happy with a convincing treatment.
Exactly. LARP thrives on people who put in the effort, who add details, who give other players unforgettable moments.
That actually sums it up perfectly as closing words.
Then let's leave it at that. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more about LARP equipment, from doctor's coats to surgical instruments, check out Battle Merchant. There you'll find not only the equipment, but also loads of other topics on the blog covering LARP, reenactment, and everything related to history.
And if you have your own tips for playing a doctor, share them. The community thrives on exchange.
Until next time.
Take care.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your swords sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.